listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, back on the air with Jamal and also Zaylor. Welcome to the show. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, no matter where you are. Okay, guys, last week, Jamal, you spoke for Zaylor. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, hello, everyone from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We dodged a bullet. There was supposed to be a big storm here this weekend, and it never arrived, so we're happy.
When he said he dodged a bullet, I thought that was pretty consistent with what's going on there anyway. Jamal, Jamal, say hello to the guys, man.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. No football this week, but hey, next week is Super Bowl Sunday.
You know, I think today is National Hot Chocolate Day also, guys. I mean, not that that matters to us out of your job, but you're in Minnesota where it's cold as heck out there. Sure. You know, so happy Hot Chocolate Day, whatever the case may be. All right. You know, we're going to be talking about some highly controversial things today. We're going to start off talking about whether or not former President Trump should be impeached or not. A lot of issues going on with that. And that the Senate trial is going to be coming up in about a week or so. So we'll be talking about that. Then we'll be talking about the fact that we're now on a national alert by the Department of Homeland Security has put us on alert now for domestic terrorism, which is always an interesting, you know, situation, quite frankly. And as you know, I've talked, a lot about that over the years. So we'll get into that.
You wrote a book on it.
And I wrote a book on it. That's exactly right. Matter of fact, guys, you can find, thank you, Zaylor. You can find that book, Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips. It is on Amazon. And it's doing very well. So it's very inexpensive. I did it that way for a reason. It gives you a lot of tips and safety tips, et cetera, on to be out there. To, you know,
but when you're
out,
you got to give them the name of the book.
I just told them that. Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, look, guys, if you want to get on our blast each week to know what the topics are, listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. If you want to send us an email, and if you want to get on our blog or email blast, text Potts Associates and text that to 22828. So text Potts Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. Also, I'm very active on Twitter. So if you want to do that, it's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. All right. Again, Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. All right. Having said all of that, guys, Jamal, I understand you have somebody you want to put on blast this week. Fire away, so to speak.
Well, let's start with my shout outs first.
Okay.
I got two shout outs. Got a shout out to, as you called earlier, Uncle Joe Biden, for ordering Justice Department not to renew contracts with private prisons. I've been a big advocate for, you know, restructuring the prisons and stuff like that. So, you know, thumbs up to Joe for that one, man. And then also.
Hold on a second. So the private prisons, quite frankly, Jamal, I'm in agreement with you on that. You know, it reminds me of back in the day, and you watch some of these old time movies where they had the local people, like the sheriff and the rich guy, you know, with these private things and, you know, putting these guys into slave labor and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know for a fact how bad it is with these private prisons, but I think I would rather have some kind of governmental control over those things as opposed to individuals. So I'm in agreement with you on that.
I said a while back in one of our previous shows that when we was talking about slavery in America, and this was a modern day form of slavery, these guys are basically getting paid nothing to do labor that they're gaining money, profit off of. So,
right.
I've always been against that, you know.
Well, so, they're a private prison. They're probably looking to make a profit, and that's going to be the bottom line. The regular, they don't really do that. Any comments on that, Zaylor, before we move on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the focus should be to rehabilitate folks if they're not in prison. We're not being ultimately incarcerated, but it shouldn't be this big moneymaker and focus from that perspective. I think our focus should be rehabilitating folks and finding out what's resulting in them committing these crimes and them getting in prison instead of spending all this money warehousing them.
Do you guys realize what just happened? All three of us are in agreement on that issue.
Man, write this one down, man.
For the record book.
Okay, Jamal, what's the other one that you have?
This one is a big deal to me, man. One of my former classmates, not a classmate, I shouldn't say, alma maters, however you say that, Desiree Cormier Smith from the class of 03 from St. Bernard's High School. was sworn in by President Joe Biden to join his administration as senior advisor in the Bureau of Internal Organizations at the State Department. Now, I have no idea what that means, but since she's an alum and she was sworn in by Joe Biden, hey, man, kudos.
Well,
man.
Let me throw a kudo out there for one of my alums, Vice President Harris. That's an alum of mine. Oh, Howard University.
Howard University.
There it is.
That's very true.
At any rate, what about on the blast, Jamal, real quick?
Okay, my blast for this week goes to an ADT technician who has admitted to repeatedly hacking 200 home security cameras of attractive customers in order to spy on naked women and couples having sex. He's facing up to 5 years in federal prison.
Yeah, well, it should be more than that. You know why it's federal prison? Why, Zayla, why do you think it's federal prison? ADT.
Because he's using the public lines that are federal, and so that's how it works. It's interstate, so ends up being a federal crime.
Well, see, Gazelle and I have these legal backgrounds and stuff like that. I wanted to throw that out there. Very good. That's exactly the answer. federal wavelength. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not taking a bar exam over here trying to quiz me like this is the outside.
So, yeah, Jamal, and you know what? This has been an issue not only what he's doing, so that's interesting, but also it's been an issue with landlords, Jamal, in apartment buildings.
True.
That they've had these little hidden cameras and things of that nature. These guys, I'm surprised he's only getting 5 years. You want to know the truth?
True. I'll be checking my smoke detectors, like lined up with my bed, man.
Hey, Jamal, they ain't looking to peek in on you. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Hey, man, I've been a sex, known as a sex symbol. You know what I mean?
Hey, Jim. Yeah. If you remember all the movies, wasn't there a movie with the Baldwin brother where he was like the apartment manager and he was, again, spying on all these people back in the 80s or 90s?
Was it Sliver?
I think it was Sliver. That was the name.
I didn't catch that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't catch that one. Well, let me get on with my blast.
One last one. And this is the most very important one. So I got to say this one, man. This blast goes out. It's not to the Louisiana. This is a story about a Louisiana widow of Sheriff Deputy Daryl Simeon, who passed away of cancer. She tried to make burial arrangements at Oakland Springs Cemetery, but was denied. They were denied because they told the family that this is a whites-only cemetery.
Oh, really? When was this?
This happened within the past week.
Really?
So, I mean, this is not the 50s. This is not the 60s. This is...
I thought we were post-racism. Remember, we have a black president, Jamal?
Right. But since this all happened, of course, they have quickly changed their policy. But the family said, no, thank you. We want our husband to rest in peace. So they took their business and took his remains somewhere else, another cemetery.
Wow. There's going to be some pushback on that. There's going to be some issues there, without a doubt.
I feel like the story's been kind of quiet. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, quiet for my comfort.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to put... the Hollywood elite, although our technical advisor also mentioned something that was very important, not just the Hollywood elite on this issue. It's the people with money, we'll call them, that are actually paying to get in line earlier than those most deserving for the vaccination shots. So basically it's what people with money are doing. And I know about the Hollywood elite, you know, specifically, because that's been all over the news. And they say it's like the Hunger Games out there, that they're desperate for the COVID-19 vaccines. And they're offering, listen to this, guys, they're offering up to $10,000 to their doctors to be able to get those shots before other people that may be more deserving and standing in line. And I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous that they should even be thinking about doing something like that. Now, did you hear about what happened at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, yeah.
Dodger Stadium has, you know, people go there to get the shot. Matter of fact, that's
where the largest ones in the country, right?
Yeah, Patrick Stewart went there to get his, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and some other stars. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't pay anybody. They got in line like everybody else, so kudos to them. But they had to close it down because they actually had people out there protesting that are anti-vaccine. See, this is, you know, we love our country, and our country affords all of these rights to people, and everybody wants to be out there protesting about one thing or another. I mean, give me a break. If you don't want the vaccine, just don't go.
You know, That's exactly right. These are the same people who says they don't want the government telling them what to do with their bodies, yet they're out there stopping everybody else from doing what they want to do with their bodies. You know?
Hell yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with you on that. Also, yeah, you know, you talked about the rich elite, you know, getting vaccines before everybody else. Now, last week, I mentioned about having a plug and a hookup. You know what I mean? I don't know how I feel about this. You know what I'm saying? So can I turn now? Yeah, I don't know. I used to work the door at nightclubs and stuff, and I can tell you, as long as that line was, if you slip me a 50 or 100, guess who's getting hit?
Well, Jamal, you remember, I taught you all you know as a bouncer, brother, because I was a bouncer in college. And, you know, we've had all of our conversations on this. Right. And it's true. When you work at the club and there's a name group that's coming in and everybody's trying to get in, it's true. When people walk up to that door and say, hey, man, we're full. Hey, yeah. Here's a 20. Well, back in those days, it wasn't a 50, Jamal, but, you know, 20. Here's a 20. You know, or they want a good seat up toward the front. They got it.
Right. They now, the difference is, I didn't take an oath. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, do doctors take an oath to not do things like this or some kind of...
Well, wait. They have ethical standards, Jamal, just like everybody else. And just to let you know, my understanding is, and it was I don't want to name this doctor on the air, but he specifically told them no. Because they do have an ethical standard, just like attorneys have ethical standards, or CPAs have ethical standards.
Right.
So, you know, they're not going to be administering this vaccine to people who are not deserving of it yet. Let's just put it that way.
As a matter of fact, the same thing happened with the Popeye's chicken sandwiches, man. People were paying extra money out the back door, man, to get it because they didn't want to be in a long line.
I don't know that I'm going to pay extra money for a chicken sandwich, but whatever the case may be, I remember you talking about.
Good.
Well, that's what the people say about In-N-Out Burger. Also, I don't eat burgers, but I mean, I eat turkey burgers, but not those beef burgers. And people just line up for these different things, man. For whatever reason, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Whatever the case may be. At any rate, the other blast that I want to do is not on an individual; it's on a country, and the country is China. Now, the regular listeners know for a fact, okay, that how I feel about domestic terrorism, how I feel about international terrorism, et cetera. We need to be watching China. I keep talking about China. China right now, I believe that they are preparing for war, not against us, but Taiwan. Taiwan, when all of this stuff went down and they were denied the manufacturing, a lot of manufacturing left there and went over to Taiwan. What was going on now is that China was already upset with Taiwan anyway, because they wanted their independence. They didn't want to be, you know, with China. China is really pushing this issue, and I think they're getting ready. Now, I don't think they would have done anything under the Trump administration, okay? And I'm hoping that they don't do anything under the Biden administration, because it's going to be a lot for President Biden to have to deal with that issue if it, in fact, comes up, because there's going to be a lot of outcry about a country's aggression toward a smaller country like that. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'm just putting it out there again. People just don't know how bad China really is. Our technical advisor brought up a good point. South and Central America, China, you know, they're out there getting up all the fish, you know, and, you know, they're overfishing it, and they're reducing the amount of the fish that's even in these oceans. A lot of those smaller countries like that, man, they rely on those things to eat, you know, quite frankly. And it's not the first time that they've done things like that. China is a very aggressive nation under the radar, and we have to start paying attention to it. You guys have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think part of the problem with China, if I'm not mistaken, don't they have like over 1 billion people in that small area? They could be trying to figure out a way to expand their territories. I could be wrong, but this is
they're trying to expand territory.
This might be a bad time for them to start a war, because I see Russia's having their set. Putin's having his set of problems over there right now. Mm-hmm. With it look like they want to overthrow him.
Right. So, we got one writer, our listener that texted and said, look, public vaccinations is not like a nightclub. So you remember how you used the example, Jamal, about the 50 bucks to be able to get it? I know you were just showing that. I get it. People with money, I get it. But the listener wants to make sure that we understand, and we do, that public vaccinations is not a nightclub, so it's a different situation.
Right.
Then we had another one that said that Jamal made a good point. So here's two different contrary views, quite frankly. But that's okay.
Yeah, can I throw in one quick blast though? Actually, it just reminded me of everything we were talking about. So this is the Philly Against COVID. There's an organization out there, you've probably seen it on the news, where it was like a 22-year-old that came up with this nonprofit to distribute COVID vaccines. And there's this big scandal as it relates to it because they switched, at least the reports are indicating that it switched over from a nonprofit to a for-profit and that they weren't following protocols and all of that kind of stuff. And they were the main purveyors that were supposed to be distributing COVID vaccines in Philadelphia, like over a black doctor's organization. Like there was a consortium and stuff. So it's this big, huge scandal that's going on over there. So definitely putting that dude on blast in regards to that everybody's pretty much left the organization. And now there's a dearth of access for people to be able to get the COVID vaccines in Philadelphia because this was a person that sold, a bag of beans to the city council and the health officials and stuff. So it's this big thing going on over there.
Yeah, that stuff's ridiculous, man. And it's going to be a lot of fraud with all of this, unfortunately. You know, anytime there's a buck to be made, end of story. By the way, mm-hmm. if anybody wants to call in because they have a comment or a question, the number is right here. It's 323-203-0815. Okay, guys, look, let's get to these emails real quick. I think we've had some pretty good discussions, but we need to get into these emails as well. So here we go with that. Jim. A tragic mass shooting in Indianapolis reminds us that these types of issues are still prevalent in our country. What drives our young to kill members of their own family? I know you have discussed this in the past and have reminded us not to lose focus on these issues with everything else that's going on. Keep up the message, Jim. Elaine, I don't know. I'm sure you guys have heard about that, but here's a young guy, a teenager, that turned around and killed five family members, and I think five more people are wounded or whatever the case may be. Look, we have a lot of issues with our young, in my opinion, in this area, and I have spoken about this on the show before. Believe it or not, some of the biggest mass murders with the active shooters are children. I told before in the show where there was one out of, Arkansas, got his first gun at 11 years old, excuse me, at 6 years old, and at 11 years old, he goes to school and kills 26 students, you know, and they didn't try him as an adult and they put him in a juvenile detention facility till he was 21 and released him. You know, I'll do some follow up on this as well. But it is a shame. And it's not all out there yet exactly how old this person is. They are young because that's why they're not releasing his name, because he is under 18 years of age. But this happened in the middle of the night, you know, some family disturbance, whatever the case may be. It's considered a mass murder because of the fact it's over a certain number of people. And it's a shame, but there it is, you know. So, yeah, it is a shame, and we do need to stay focused on this. My other concern, quite frankly, is everything that's going on with these schools. So we'll talk about that because one of the emails addresses that also. Some of these kids are just, you know, not doing well. Anyway, Jim, please reach out to your listeners on the issue of our children not being able to return to the classroom. This whole issue is based on the teachers and the teachers' union. The teachers are getting paid to stay at home, but the process is becoming more and more harmful for our children and parents who are being forced to stay at home, many having to quit their jobs or being fired. Encourage your listeners to write to their politicians to open up the schools. Thank you. And that's from Charlene from Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, the first one was from Elaine. Didn't say what state. Charlene from Charlotte. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, there's a lot on the news right now about this business, about these kids getting back into school.
Well, there's still a lot of things that shut down even publicly. So, I mean, if it's not safe, I understand the concern. People want to get back to work. And now parents are looking very kind of, not all, but a lot of parents are looking real silly right now because they don't even know how to do this stuff no more. It's been like 30 years, 20 years since they've done some of this stuff. You know what I mean? So I know they're ready to kind of somewhat dump their responsibility back to the teachers. You know what I mean? But right now, is it a good time? Because diseases are spreading. You know what I mean?
They say follow the science, though, Jamal. They're saying that these kids are not the ones, that they're not going to be the spreaders. And if you look at Chicago, the Chicago teachers, Jamal, and the Chicago union, they're showing. Matter of fact, there was a parent on earlier today. They're showing that in the classrooms, they have all of the seats that are spaced properly, all of that. They're saying, look, we're doing everything that they told us to do, we are doing in order to put them in the classroom. The problem is the teachers, look, these teachers are staying at home, Joel. They had a teacher the other day that's in the Caribbean, okay, having a good time being paid, okay? Some of this stuff is ridiculous. These kids, back with these kids, is going to be damaging, lifetime damaging.
It could be. Here's one of the things I'd like to throw out. There's always examples of folks that are abusing the system. Agreed.
Right.
The problem is, you know, that I have many teachers that I'm friends with, and I do work for some of the school districts as well, and advise them in regards to things. So I get to see things from both sides. The educators and the administrators are concerned in regards to safety and making sure that people are safe and that everything from that perspective. And so are teachers, right? There have been teachers that have lifelong teachers that have resigned from their positions because they've been forced to go back to school when they don't necessarily feel that it's safe. So the one example that I like to throw out is, you know, you have these professional football teams, you have the professional, you have the college athletes and all that kind of stuff, with all this testing and all this rigmarole and stuff, still testing positive for COVID, right? Even with all that money, even with all that tracking and stuff happening. So, and ensure that people can get back in a safe way, that's the important part. Because even if the kids aren't the ones that are transmitting it per se, or the main vehicle, there are other adults that have to interact with each other at the school as well. There's other teachers, there's custodians, there's counselors and stuff like that. There's still other adults that are there. And so that's what the concern is from that perspective. And it's not easy for teachers to be teaching students this way.
Right.
All the teachers that I said are not happy with it either, but they also want to make sure that they're safe and they understand. And it's just a tough situation all around. I don't know if there's an easy answer for it.
You know, what, Zeller? I think the point that you're making needs clarification. I agree with what you're saying, and we should make it clear that we're not talking about all teachers. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're not talking about all teachers. There's some people out there that are very dedicated to their students, mm-hmm. working very hard, and I'm glad that you did mention that, because we don't want to leave out those individuals. But with anything, there's always abuse. Jamal?
I do understand the frustration. I laugh and joke about a lot of things and stuff like that, but I've heard some, you know, friends of mine say, like, man, this work is hard. I don't remember how to do any of this. They had a game show one time called Am I Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, and adults couldn't keep up with these fifth grade work. You know what I mean? So, but I hang on a little bit, you know, wait till the summer gets here. Everybody have their vaccines by then. Things should be calming down. And when school starts up again in late August, September, I think we'll be fine for the kids to return back to school.
You know, when you talk about a safe way, okay, whether or not things are going to be safe, that 100%, we got to understand something, guys. This may not ever be at 100%. I mean, this virus is mutating and the rest of this.
Yep.
You know, so they're going to have to figure this out, you know, quickly, and in my opinion. So hopefully this year, and not to mention the fact that, you know, Uncle Joe, you know, he said he was going to take care of this problem. He ran on that for the election. So hopefully the whatever he's putting in place is going to work. And I think we need to support whatever it is he's going to try, because let's face it, we got to do something. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's working with his team. So we'll just wait and see what happens. Let's move on. By the way, I mentioned about Chicago. Just to let you know, one of the demands that the Chicago teachers unions are making, guys, because like I said, everybody doesn't look at this the same way. They want to include, okay, or they're going to go out and strike, by the way. They're threatening to strike, okay, if they don't get their way. And one of the things that they're talking about doing is that they want, quote-unquote, counselors, not cops. So they're trying to change the basic makeup of the city at the same time. They want rent abatements. So this is all, if they don't get these things, they're going to strike. Now, what is rent abatement have to do with anything in terms of them getting back in the classroom? In my opinion, nothing. So sometimes some of these groups, these unions, they do get together and they become this political force, so to speak, for change. And they will include things in there that have absolutely nothing to do with getting the kids back in school. They'll use that power to do that. And I don't agree with that. All right. I just want to, because I had mentioned Chicago, I wanted to tell you what was one of the issues.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jim. Next email. Jim, the expression elections have consequences sure came back to haunt the union associated with the Keystone Pipeline. The president of the union and the union both supported, were Biden supporters. are now complaining that he has put thousands of union workers, members out of work. What a laugh. Biden did exactly what he said he was going to do. They supported him and now complaining? Oh, well, elections have consequences and they should have thought about it before backing Biden. That's from David from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, I agree. Biden did exactly what he said he was going to do. So don't cry foul now. You backed him. Okay, that's fine. You knew what he was going to do. You backed him. Don't cry about it now. I mean, end of story. So, you know, thank you very much, David, for that. I fully agree with you. And again, you can't say Biden lied about it. He was very open in terms of what he was going to do. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
That's what he said he was going to do. And that's what he did. Elections have consequences. Okay, let's talk about this business that's in front of the Senate right now and all over the news about former President Trump being impeached. All right? So let's start out, you know, with some basics here. Article 2, all right, Section 4 of the Constitution does address this as an issue, all right? And it does speak to the fact that people in that position can be impeached, all right? So it normally applies to the president, vice president, or anybody in a civil service position like that, that they can be impeached. So let's start with a basic like that, okay? From there, we think about the fact that, okay, should he be impeached? What has led to this and your opinions? And let's see, let's get everybody's perspective on that. Jamal, you want to go first?
Listen, I'm all a fan. Arguably, is it fair or not? I really don't care. I'm for what's in the best interest of this country. And if impeaching him a second time is going to stop him from being able to run for president again, then I'm all for it. Because I don't want to go through another 4 years of this. The last 4 years has been just a complete mess, in my opinion. And so I'm ready to move forward. If he's running again, this will cause another storm that I don't want to go back to.
Okay, so you're doing it. You're saying go through with the impeachment based on an emotional, not necessarily one that is what the legal guidelines are concerning. What, hold on, let me finish. Concerning whether or not the impeachment process is even legal on a former, okay? Because remember, he's not the president, okay? So he's a former president, which is what the arguments are going to be. And I'm sure Zayla's going to weigh in on this. With our backgrounds in the Constitution and, you know, the laws that we have studied, we're going to look at it a little bit differently, maybe not in so much in whether or not it should be done or not done, but we are going to look at the constitutional aspects of it. Jamal, the other thing is, you know, in my opinion, just because he can run or not run again doesn't mean that he's going to get elected, okay? He's going to come out on the other side of that either. And I'm not sure, I'm not even sure he would want to run. If I was him, I would not want to run again. I don't know why he'd want to go through all that, but his ego is such.
Right.
You know, especially the fact that he feels that it was a rigged election that, you know, he'll never get past that, quite frankly. You know,
just think about this. If he's allowed to run again, he's going to run again based on rigged election and continuing these lies that fan the flame to begin with. You know what I mean? And people are still, these lies about the rigged election, they've already debunked all of that stuff. And he still continues to say about a rigged election and his followers, and I mean his extremist followers, you know, it's rebel rousing. It's stoking up the fire of their emotions. And those people are dangerous, in my opinion.
Let's turn to Zayler, and let's weigh in on this, Zayler, and talk about some of the legal perspectives involved with this as well. What's your take on this, Z?
Well, I think there's two issues and two points, whether it's constitutional to impeach somebody who's no longer in office. And then the other aspect is should he be impeached, right? I guess there's three, because then should he be prevented from running from office again in the future? So, you know, in my research, I found that in 1876, the U.S. House of Representatives brought up articles of impeachment against the Secretary of War. William Belknap? Yep. In regards to corruption charges, He immediately submitted his letter of resignation to President Ulysses S. Grant. And so one of the questions before the House of Representatives was, can you impeach somebody that's no longer in office? And what they said was, is the issue and the question was, is you don't want to be able to allow people to get away with you know, inappropriate conduct and escape conviction and impeachment just by simply being able to turn in a resignation letter. And I know that we, as the work that we do in regards to employment law, if somebody just said, oh, I quit, I'm good, you know, does that mean, does the organization not have to move forward with their investigation and determine whether what they did was inappropriate and wrong? And so the interesting thing is that the House of Representatives at that time, it voted in 1876, 37 to 29 in favor of moving forward with the impeachment trial. So then addressing and answering this particular threshold question that had not been asked before of the House of Representatives, whether somebody that was no longer in office could still be impeached. So this isn't the first time that the House of Representatives has been.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna jump in because I'm very familiar with that particular case as well. And mm-hmm. as you know, I've done my research as well.
Of course.
Okay, first of all, we're talking about whether or not, and that guy did that. He turned around and he knew he was going to be impeached, mm-hmm. and he ran in there. And actually, he went in there in tears.
Yeah, he did.
But I'm sorry, and here it is. Okay, and he was out of it. Okay,
right.
But you know, his position is not the same, in my opinion. I don't think that this is apples from apples. Okay, we're talking about whether or not a former president. Okay, a non-sitting former president. And that issue has not been dealt with. Okay,
individuals holding federal office. There have been three federal judges that have been impeached as well.
And again, you're talking about judges.
And removed from office.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I don't have a problem with this being a question that moves up to the United States Supreme Court.
Okay, let's stop right there. The Supreme Court dealt with that. Hold on, Zeller. The Supreme Court, okay? Okay, I don't know how far back you did with your research, but the Supreme Court with Nixon address the same issue you just brought up, whether it should go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, no, it is constitutional that this issue can only be decided, okay, by the Senate. They are the ones with the final appeal process. There is no appeal process. So they dealt with that issue with Nixon. So no, it's not going to go to the Supreme Court. Let me back up for a second. I understand that some judges have been kicked out. I understand that. We're not talking about judges. The Constitution is very clear. It has to do, and a matter of fact, I can even read it. Well, I'm sure you've got it. I don't know if I want to waste the time reading the actual Constitutional Amendment, but it talks to the issue as to whether or not it can be done. He's not a sitting president. That's going to be the issue.
It doesn't specifically indicate that it's only for people that are currently in office. And let's remember, the process began before he was out of office. And anyways.
Okay, we're getting text messages here. Here's one. The second, as you can imagine, we would be, okay? One is saying, they're flying in. One is saying the problem is it's being pushed by Pelosi. Well, you know why Pelosi's pushing it, because she doesn't want him to run again. Look, I'm going to be honest with you.
There's Republicans that don't want him running again.
Listen, I don't want him to run again, okay? In all honesty, okay?
But again, they're separate questions.
The other thing is the second impeachment is about accountability for inciting an insurrection. So I'm going to talk about that as well. That was already on the agenda. So the issue about whether or not he incited a riot, okay, that he incited this quote-unquote insurrection, all right? Well, first of all, okay, I'll ask either one of you two. Have either of you two actually read the full speech that Trump gave that day? Yes or no? Very simple question.
Don't care.
No.
So your answer is no, you didn't read it, right?
I didn't read it.
I just saw the speech. Okay, it's a very lengthy
speech. Enough excerpts to be of him and the words coming out of his mouth.
Okay, no. Are you going to let me finish, Taylor? Because when you're speaking, I listen to what you had to say. You're going to listen to me?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
So here we go. Okay, so it's what I did. I actually marked the words, okay, that they're not relying on, quite frankly. And it says very, very specifically, now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down. I'll be there with you. And we're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. So hold on one second. That's not it. That's not the only one. Okay. Now it says anyone you want. But I think, let's see. But I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. All right. Now, here's what he also said. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. He says nothing in there about go down there and tear the damn place down. Okay, so this whole impeachment and this person that wrote in is correct. The texted in is correct. Okay, this impeachment is based on January 6th. Nothing else. January 6th. Mm-hmm. How are they going to prove, in my opinion, and not to mention the fact, let's just be clear now, okay, that a lot of this undertone was already going on the internet that the FBI was aware of before Trump even gave that speech that day. So some of these people had already planned to go there. So let's not forget that. So the reality is, he said peacefully, and he said to let our voices be heard. He said nothing, okay, about going down there and tearing the place apart. Jamal, go ahead. I see you chomping at the bit.
Here's the problem. Once again, he's doing all these rallies on people's emotion based on a lie. That's the problem.
Jamal, all politicians have rallies. All politicians get... Okay, I tell you what. Name one politician, Jamal, that gets up there and doesn't try to rally the troops, okay? All these politicians are not 100% truthful, Jamal. To me, they're all a bunch of liars, including Uncle Joe. Okay, I don't want to get to all these things about which ones he's not telling the truth on and all of this. You know, October 3rd, I have a video. I can even play it for you right now. On October 3rd, okay, Joe Biden said that anybody that signs executive orders, it shouldn't be done that way. Okay, because that's reserved for dictators. Now, this is before he got elected. That man in a week and a half has done 48. So as soon as he gets in the office, all of a sudden now, he's writing 48 executive orders. And again, I made it clear last week, I don't care if he writes executive orders. But
clearly you do, because you keep bringing it up. Trump said the exact same thing before.
They so all have do examples. That. I'm only making
we
a point
examples.
Here. I'm
we have examples of every politician saying and doing that. Unless you can find the politicians that don't do it, then why bring it up as bolstering Trump's case if everybody does it?
So here's the reality. The reality, Jamal, to answer your question directly or to comment on your statement directly, these politicians say things, Jamal, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean that translates into anybody's truth or anything like that. He had rallies the whole year with no other issues. All those rallies, nothing happened. This particular rally, there were people that to me, you know, had a subversive attitude, okay, that were anti-government, that went in there and did what they did. I'm sorry. So, Jamal, did you want to comment back?
So let me ask you this then. What was the benefit of this of having this rally after he realized he lost? Most of his lawyers was bailing out. Matter of fact, I think five lawyers has left him and quit right before his impeachment trial. So what was the benefit of having this rally right there by the Capitol?
Jamal, because he wanted to, that would look, I'm not defending Trump on that issue. To me, the man made poor decisions regarding this kind of stuff, Jamal. I'm only saying that if the impeachment itself is based on January 6th, because they said that he said where he incited these people and told these people to go down there and do that, that's not what happened. That's all that I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, that he should have been a little bit cooler with all of this, in my opinion. But you're right. He's down there talking about the fact that he got cheated out of an election. And let me tell you something. You just mentioned about those five attorneys. I'm familiar with what happened with those five attorneys. Because you know why? It goes back to exactly what you just said. Trump wanted them to go in there into the impeachment trial and start talking about the fact that he got cheated out of the election.
You know, Trump wants to go and do it himself too, right? I want to see that.
Right.
Let him go.
I'm in favor of impeaching him.
Let him go up to the Senate and be his own attorney. I want to prove
my point, man.
Hey, Sal, remember what they told us in law school? Anybody that represents themselves has a blankety blank for a client and a blankety blank for an attorney. You know? I can't use those words on the air.
I can't deal with this dude no more, man. I don't even like saying his name anymore. You know what I mean?
I know. Listen,
he's a piece of work. There's no two way. Look, I don't think anybody. Look, you don't think there was times when he sat down there with his family at the White House and they're all saying, "Dad, don't do this. Dad, don't go." This man just does things.
I don't think so, to be honest with you.
Oh, Jamal, please. Listen, anybody around him. That's why some of the people left him around him. These attorneys, Zayla will tell you. Okay, Zayla, what happens when we have a client and the client wants to tell us, okay, what's the best approach? What do we tell them? That's not the best approach. Am I right or wrong? You tell me.
True. Yeah. And our job is to be able to, is to move forward with the best approach. So I want to circle back real quick in regards to, so Jim, is your position that in order for a president to be, in order for the Senate to convict the president in regards to an insurrection situation like this, he had to specifically come out and told them, go storm the Capitol and lynch them. And if anything short of that, then it's not enough.
Okay, let me tell you something. To answer your question, I don't agree that that's enough. Okay, because he didn't incite those words, Zella. You know, when we were in law school, one of the basic things we learned in constitutional law was about inciting. Okay, and things that people say. Mm-hmm. Don't you remember that?
We had a caller, but it looks like the call dropped, unfortunately. Hopefully, call back. Whoever called in, make sure you call back.
I didn't even see that. Where did you see that at?
It's in the chat.
I see. The only thing I see in the private chat. I see we're under the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. See,
yeah, I get words are not enough, but how else are you supposed to incite? Again, I'm not a criminal attorney, so that's not my area of expertise to be able to know from a legal standard how much is incitement. I understand that from a constitutional perspective, the standards aren't always the same. It doesn't have to be, beyond a reasonable doubt, in order for it to meet the standard for an impeachment.
Well, we got a person that wrote in that says, wait until the trial and the defense brings up more fiery statements by the Democrats during the summer riots. As I said before, Trump never said or did anything insightful. Well, those are always going to be with the arguments. Okay, we got to call in a second. Hi, caller.
Jim.
Hello. Oh,
hi,
who's this?
Jim
from Jersey. Oh, my God. Okay. Go ahead. What you got, Jim?
Well, all this talk about, whether he should be impeached or not. First of all, I think that the process started while he was still president.
Yep.
The incident occurred while he was president.
Yep.
And the thing is, if he incurred that, the people would not have been there probably if he hadn't told them. He told them ahead of time, come there on January 6th. He said it's going to be wild. And you should read the whole speech. If you read the whole speech, there are words in there that could be interpreted the wrong way. And if he didn't think that something was going to happen when it actually happened, why didn't he try to stop? Instead, he sat in the White House and just watched it on TV. And it wasn't until hours later when Biden called him out on TV about it.
Jim, I got six pages of the speech right in front of me. Tell me what page that you're talking about. What paragraph, what page?
I'd have to look at it again.
There it is.
But okay. I'll have it for you next week, Jim.
I'll be talking about this every week. Because Jamal's already made it clear he doesn't want to be talking about Trump every week, and I don't blame him, quite frankly. Look, let me tell you something. Here's how I really feel, to answer a question from Zayla. If Trump gets impeached, guys, okay, he can't run a second time, I'm good with it. All we're doing today is talking about the constitutionality of it, okay? Whether they go through it, and quite frankly, Zeller, I don't see it happening that way because they need 17 Republicans, and the Republicans are already starting to back away that they're actually going to do this. So quite frankly, it's almost going to be a moot issue.
Well, it's my understanding, and you can, I know that you've probably done your research on this too, that the preventing him from running for office is and could be a separate vote, separate and distinct from the impeachment. The impeachment would require, 2/3 of the Senate?
Right.
Whereas it appears as though they may only need a majority of the senators to prevent him from running for office.
And again, I do not care if that man doesn't run for president, quite frankly. Okay? I want to see some new blood in there. All the way down the line. You want to know the truth? I want to see new blood on both sides. Some of these people have been around for too long, okay? Now, I'm not an AOC fan or anything like that, but we got younger people coming up from both sides of the aisle that are trying to bring in some new and fresh ideas. And quite frankly, I think we need that.
We might have to have a show on term limits.
And you know what? And look, we got term limits, as you know, Zayla, in California.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a firm believer in term limits. Matter of fact, California is one of the only states where even our Supreme Court can be voted out. A lot of places, a lot of states, that's not the case. Okay.
Do we have term limits? Because Maxine Waters won again for like 50th year in a row.
Well, you know.
Oh, did you hear the latest on her?
Did you hear the latest on her? Her daughter, Jamal, has been paid over $1 million, okay, through campaign financing cash money that has come in. In this last election, her daughter got paid $250,000. So now there's a scandal is brewing with that. I just heard that yesterday. So that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. At any rate, let's turn our attention to and Jim, you can stay on for this part. The other issue is that the Department of Homeland Security has issued a warning on domestic terrorism. And you know, that's kind of like my bailiwick. But I want to specifically read, just so people understand about the definition of domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism or homegrown terrorism is a form of terrorism in which victims within a country are targeted by a perpetrator with the same citizenship as the victims. There are many definitions of terrorism, and none of them are universally accepted. The United States Department of State defined terrorism in 2003 as premeditated, politically motivated violence perpetrated against non-combatant targets by subnational groups or clandestine agents, usually intended to influence an audience. There is no federal criminal offense designated as domestic terrorism. Now, we can jump back to January 6th real quick. To me, that fits within that definition. To me, that was a form of domestic terrorism. Okay, no doubt about it. But this business about domestic terrorism, we have to understand the full scope of this stuff. There are, and I just got some updated information on this, 984 hate groups in this country. California, the latest number, 88 hate groups in California alone. That is a lot, okay? And these aren't people that have just been around, you know, in the last 4 years. I mean, these are groups that have been around a hell of a lot longer than that. Mm-hmm. And this stuff is ridiculous. So when we talk about trying to get rid of racism and, you know, Biden is going to take a stab at it, which I'm glad about, you know, but I don't want to just focus on African Americans. I want to go across racism. You know, is one aspect of it, anti-gay, anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish. I want to go all across the board with this. You can't just stop with one group. That's kind of like pandering, they say. But whatever he can do, I'm for it. What do you guys think?
I think, because that kind of falls in line. Isn't that why Joe Biden signed the executive order that we can no longer call the COVID-19 the China virus? I mean, because to me, by calling the China virus or the Wuhan virus is a form, you know, in my opinion, of racism, in my opinion.
Well, let's just be clear. He didn't say we can't. He said the government officials cannot, right. Just to be clear. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as far as I'm concerned, Uncle Joe got a call from overseas, okay, to downplay that issue and to get rid of that. Okay, Zale is shaking his head. I knew you'd have a contrary opinion, but I had to slide that in there. But go ahead, Joe. Joe. Go ahead, Zale.
Your Honor,
one of the things I was going to throw in there was, you know, I did some research in regards to, I'm sure you're familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hopefully others are as well. They're a nonprofit, American nonprofit organization that does all kinds of civil rights and public interest litigation, but also they classify hate groups and extremist organizations across the country, and they publish their list every year. So one of the interesting things I looked at was, you know, who the Southern Poverty Law Center has classified as hate groups and who they don't. And one of the interesting things is that they don't have, you know, people ask these questions. Do you have Black Lives Matter? Why don't they have Black Lives Matter listed as a hate group? You know, why don't they have some of these other organizations, you know, Antifa listed as a hate group? And then what's the difference between a hate group and a patriot group? And one of the things that they focus, they have their classification. Again, they're the experts in regard to this area. I'm not. So sometimes in these situations, I defer to the folks that are experts in this area. But they classify hate groups, you know, as organizations that have hateful ideologies towards, you know, either races, religions, things of that nature. There's a lot of them are the protected class groups, Jim, that they have in the state and federal postings as it relates to employment. But really quick, let me finish. Really quick, I'll be quick. But the patriot groups they found, the reason they don't have them listed as hate groups, but they do have a separate list of patriot groups, is that these are anti-government extremist organizations. And the focus is on, you know, conspiracy theories and militia groups as it relates to the government, not necessarily against blacks, Muslims, gays, on all that kind of stuff. So I found that to be kind of interesting, where they're separating things out.
I'm in full agreement. The time was up. Is what I was flagging you down. But here's the deal. I am very familiar with that organization over the years, Zayla. I've done a lot of research on that, on that organization. I think they bring a lot of good things to the table. They have a hate map also that's pretty good to break it down by state as well. So, yes, I'm very familiar with that. But listen, right now we got to say goodbye, guys. We're a little bit over. We don't want to get into somebody else's time. All right. So, hey, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, be safe. Wave off, guys. Tell everybody goodbye. All right, now. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.